This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1941. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, especially the dynamic medium of international shortwave between the AM and FM bands. On this edition, recorded July 31st, Albania, Antarctica, Argentina, Australia, Bolivia, China, Cuba, Denmark, France, Ireland and Northern, Kuwait, Kyrgyzstan, Laos, Nigeria, Peru, USA, Western Sahara, unidentified, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, since at least July 26th, as of July 31st, WRMI has had to play film music during the semi-hour reserve for relaying Radio Tirana, Albania, in English. That is 0230 UT on 9395. We enjoy the now familiar tunes and the film music medley, including one about the EU, promotional songs about the Cayman Islands and the Bahamas, but it's not Radio Tirana. Their relays also disappeared without notice in January, and that turned out to be because Radio Tirana had changed the audio URL on its streaming without notice, so the automation could no longer get the file to WRMI. But this time, the problem is different. Kai Ludwig found information in a German news group, since Radio Tirana also broadcasts in German, that the external service streaming has been down since July 24th. So the foreign service is going out only via satellite, Eutelsat 16A only. Christian Milling, the intermediary at shortwave service in Germany, says, that's why also the programs on his frequencies, 6005 and 3985, have not been updated, but Radio Tirana has been informed. It appears that Antarctica's only shortwave station may have gone into hibernation again, LRA 36 on 15476. Manuel Mendez in Spain last reported it on Wednesday, June 27th, from 1750 until off at 1810. It was extremely weak. Only a carrier was detected. I found one more recent report, slightly, on July 6th at 1850 by Roberto Pavanello in Italy. A report in Argentina in AM and FM via Conexión Digital says Radio Selva on 1710 is one of the few stations still active on the X-band in Argentina. It went on the air in November 2015 and has been transmitting 24 hours a day, with music from the Misiones area. And it's been reported by Brian Clark in New Zealand DX Times, July 16th at 0717, with popular Spanish vocals, the measured frequency 1709.877. Ian in Australia refers to a Sydney Morning Herald article. Whilst not shortwave news, these extracts regarding ABC management are of interest. It pertains to falling ratings for ABC local radio in Melbourne, highlighting a perceived problem with ABC management that pulled the plug on Radio Australia's shortwave broadcasts early last year. This portion caught my attention. It said some believe that senior executives, right up to managing director Michelle Guthrie, are exceedingly dazzled by digital media while dismissing radio as an old medium for old people. Some blame a Silicon Valley-style mindset that fetishes risk and innovation, allowing ill-considered decisions to be passed off as brilliantly counterintuitive. The biggest gripe, however, is management's perceived lack of respect for the craft of broadcasting. Yet we do have unique radio in Australia. Tim Gaynor's low-power station has been off the air for quite some time. It was running for a while on 3210, including some World of Radio airings. But now he's arranged some relays via WINB in Pennsylvania. His first item said that it would be on the air from Saturday, August 4th at 11 to 13 UT on 9265, with local news, shortwave news, some golden oldies, and a brand new feature from Hobart Radio International. He also said there might be something on 15670 from WINB, but did not mention DRM. But a later note sent on to us by Tom, KD4WOV, says there could be some DRM testing from 10 to 17 UT on 15670 or 9265. Yet another report tweeted by WINB itself via Mike Terry. Says Unique Radio will be testing on DRM 15670, 11 to 12 UT, August 3rd, 10th, 17th, and 24th, and 31st, directed to Western Europe and North Africa. The Dream Receiver has a button to record a WAVE file. Note that those dates are Fridays, not Saturdays, since WINB is not doing DRM on the weekends. We have one report of Radio Yura, Bolivia, being heard again for the first time since last November from Claudio Galas in nearby Chile, July 27th at 11:36 to 11:46 in Spanish and Quechua. Good reception for him. He says the frequency is 5936. But is it really 5935? Or somewhere in between? We never could pin down the exact frequency when it was last reported. In any event, it's going to have lots of interference in North America from WWCR anytime between midnight and 12 UT, except on one occasion I noticed WWCR was missing as late as 0150. It seems the frequency announced is 5936. More to last week's report from Ron Howard of China being heard testing DRM on a domestic service frequency, 6030. He had it definitely as early as July 23rd, but a Chinese broadcasting information site via Takahito Akabayashi Japan and BCDX says this officially started testing on July 24th. It's transmitting the domestic fifth program of Voice of China on 6030 at 2025 until 1805 UT through the end of this year, except for the Tuesday maintenance siesta at 06 to 09 UT. The main target area is North China, should be audible all over China, originally 100 kilowatts, but reduced to 30 kilowatts in DRM. Wolfgang Bujil says it's probably from the number 491 transmitter site at Shuangqiao. Patria o suerte, pensaremos. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana, Cuba. Among the anomalies I've noted this week, the 6100 transmitter is sometimes way off frequency, or maybe it's two different transmitters. July 26th at 12:02, 6099.239, making a heterodyne with China in Russian. But July 27th, the next day, it was back on even 6100, mixing directly with Chinese music. The FM-ish spurblobs out of the 13700 transmitter in our mornings as have been missing for quite a while, but one was back July 31st at 1410 around 13767. Denmark's legal shortwave station, World Music Radio, was heard by Ivo Ivanov, Bulgaria, July 27th from 2210 on 5840 in English. He gives the power as 1 kilowatt, but Stig-Hartvig Nielsen told us it was only 100 watts, and that transmitter went silent. On July 29th, he posted in disgraced FB and could not be brought back to life. A brand new spare transmitter was attempted to be put into service, but it blew up in the process. So World Music Radio is off the air from shortwave 5840 for the time being, but still listen via www.wmr.radio. Thanks to Alan Pennington of the British DX Club for forwarding that info. Quite by chance, in band scanning, I've run across two more instances of that totally out-of-whack transmitter at Issoudun, France, still being run as if nothing were wrong with it. July 29th at 0548 on 9790, I heard a big hum buzz atop a trace of talk in unknown language, but as scheduled there, it's Radio France International, aimed at Africa in French. And then July 30th at 0551, the same type of humbuzz was on 7220. That hour is scheduled as Dandalkura, the target broadcast for the Lake Chad area, also transmitted by TDF and MBR from Issoudun, France. How can they allow this totally dysfunctional transmitter to remain in use for months and months. From Ireland, Northern, Jordan Habern says, I have a 10-minute segment on the Italian Broadcasting Corporation, IBC, called Jordan's Radio Corner, starting Tuesday, July 31st to Sunday, August 5th on the English slots. The regular schedule will be from September on the 2nd and 4th week. Also a DRM test broadcast Wednesday, August 1st on 15670 WINB from 14 to 1430 UT and again at 15 to 1530. Check the WRMI schedule for all the times for IBC. It's also on channel 292 in shortwave service in Germany. Ken Zicke in Michigan is among the few North American DXers trying to listen to DRM broadcasts. Here's his report on Radio Kuwait 15540, July 20th. Pretty sketchy reception, leading to about a half hour of audio, almost all music being decoded in a three-hour decode attempt. The audio recovered was mostly hippie-hop stuff of an unrecognizable and unremarkable nature. The signal-to-noise ratio ranged from 17 dB, which decoded just fine, down to 5 dB, which produced nothing. At the start, the first 15 minutes or so, the signal cut off entirely, for minutes at a time, but eventually came back, and provided a limited decode. This was 18 to 21 UT, with 32 minutes of audio recovered. Ron Howard on Asilomar State Beach, California, reports Lao National Radio 6130, July 25th, with their unique gong or bell that they ring slowly seven times at 7 p.m. local time, 1200 UT, almost a minute late actually, starting 6 seconds before 1201, a weak signal along the gray line. Alan Rowe in England reports Voice of Nigeria heard back on the air on 15120 DRM with their English program July 25th from TuneIn at 1820. An SNR of 18 dB or more and a good lock. They had been missing from that frequency for some time. Richard Langley in New Brunswick replies, presumably parallel to 7255 in the AM mode that was being heard at the Uintah SDR receiver, but with a lot of storm interference. And then on the next day, July 27th, he says VON have trouble keeping the 7255 transmitter on the air in AM. At 1853, a strong DRM signal came up on the frequency. Was that VON or perhaps China testing? They began a Turkish broadcast in AM on that frequency at 1900. This was using the Uintah Holland SDR receiver. Alan Rowe heard 15120 VON DRM again on July 30th, signing on at 1800 after having been missing for a couple of nights, with a good solid signal, IDing as Voice of Nigeria, Abuja. VON also has a big signal in AM on a few hertz below 7255 for the Hausa broadcast at 0600, preceded by their drumming interval signal, which everyone should try to hear. However, that frequency is sometimes missing. It was not heard on July 28th or 29th, but was there on July 31st. Via International Vacuum, Internet, AM, FM, and Shortwave, World of Radio 1941. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com, and the non-commercial publication, DX Listening Digest. Our thanks this week for financial support from Ron Howard in California, who sent a check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank, to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702. To the Nestle Yahoo Group, Robert Wilkner in Florida reports that the Radio Huanta 2000 in Peru is difficult to log, but he heard a weak signal in Spanish fading in and out. July 21st, from between midnight 30 and 0100 on 4747.39 kHz. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Radio La Voz del Pueblo, the new Peruvian, had disappeared after a few days of testing. July 26th, Manuel Mendez in Spain reported it was out of air for more than 10 days. He'd been checking every day and heard no carrier, no signal, either on his own receivers in Spain or via remotes in South America. But on July 30th, he says it's back. 4920.8, its signature off frequency. Radio La Voz del Pueblo in Santiago de Chuco, Peru. Heard between 0445 and 0628, but only a carrier had his own receiver in Spain. A remote near Sao Paulo, Brazil, put it on 4920.77, a clear signal with Peruvian songs between 445 and 453. Then, more than an hour of dead air, just a carrier, some more audio from 0558, some very nice Peruvian songs. There were no announcements and no IDs. And this was also heard by Brian Clark in New Zealand, July 30th at 0705. After an absence of a couple of weeks, continuous Latin rhythms as before. 7 months ago, at the end of January, I got this note from Dave France of WWRB about beacon experiments. Hey Glenn, I run some beacon experiments on 475 kilocycles. You should be able to copy. The beacon is carrier phase encoded for my experiment, plus has the ID every 15 seconds using space modulation. Experiment. You can hear it with regular AM radio. Let me know how copy. Well, I tried it right away, but unsuccessfully. Finally, in band scanning below the medium wave broadcast band, July 27th at 0607, I ran across this very weak but barely copyable Morse code transmission about 475.1 kilohertz. It sends WA4SZE slant BEACON over and over. The call sounded vaguely familiar. I looked it up. Yes, that is indeed Dave France's own ham radio call in Manchester, Tennessee. Last week, we referred to a New York Times story about Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty, directing ads at Americans, i.e., not on the air, but on Facebook. Now, there's been a reply to that published by the New York Times from Thomas Kent, president of RFERL in Prague. He says, we reject any suggestion that our journalists are engaged in propaganda. Despite our congressional funding, we are editorially independent. Federal law bars any American official from dictating or interfering with our content. We use Facebook technology to promote our news stories and graphics to readers' feeds. The material in question is our original news content, not ads. Some of our audience abroad use circumvention software to get around government web blocks, and therefore are identified on Facebook as American users. But our intent is not to target a U.S. domestic audience. To ensure compliance with our governing legislation, we are reviewing our promotion policy in cooperation with the Broadcasting Board of Governors. We are proud of the independent coverage we provide to 31 million people in 25 languages of news developments in 20 countries in the Balkans and former Soviet Union, plus Iran, Afghanistan, and Pakistan. Our correspondents are frequently arrested and harassed by authoritarian regimes for their courageous journalism. Russian authorities, who recently fined us, have frequently attacked the alternative we provide to Kremlin-controlled media. It's obvious from the size of our following and the risks these consumers take to access our content that our audience knows the difference between news and propaganda. Thanks to Mike Cooper and David Cole for sending that on to us. Which reminds me of an RFERL press release of July 24th via Dr. Hans-Jürg Biener. Kyrgyz service investigative journalist dead at 28. Ulanbek Egizbayev, one of the brightest investigative journalists in Kyrgyzstan, died suddenly on July 22nd, apparently having drowned while on holiday at Lake Issyk-Kul. The director of the Kyrgyz service said Egizbayev had dedicated his life to being a voice for ordinary people, for those who could not stand up and speak for themselves. He reported regularly and passionately about these unsung heroes, be it a teacher in a desolate mountain village, a young woman overcoming the consequence of a botched operation that left her blind and in need of dialysis, or a young disabled teenager staying optimistic despite difficult challenges in his life. For his last story, Egizbayev, an RFERL video producer, won a 2016 Webby People's Voice Award and traveled to New York to accept the prize. He was also a dogged investigator who had become the biggest threat to all corrupt politicians in Kyrgyzstan. He reported on corruption cases in government, the customs service, various ministries, public land distribution, and even a major corruption scheme at cemeteries. For updates on the status of some stations, one has no choice but to check disgraced FB, such as WMLK in Pennsylvania, which has been off the air from 9275 for a few years now. I don't check it often, but this from June 11th says, WMLK just received notice from Ampagon that the new WMLK transmitter is now 45% complete. Things are moving along quite well, thankfully. In August, Australian DX News, Michael Cunningham in Brisbane says, WJHR, in an undated letter received with the EQSL card, says WJHR Radio International is an outreach ministry of Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Milton, Florida, and that we just moved the station to a new location and installed a new directional Yagi antenna. All programming is played at random from archives. That, of course, is the low-power station on 15555 USB on the air in the daytime only and often inaudible here. More about the China Plus Relay for the Metroplex market. Mark Sills in Dallas, Texas, follows up his report last week about KTXV 890. Shucks, it was too good to be true. Radio Spam International on 890 has intermittently returned to the airwaves. I noticed it at 1355. A carrier popped up on 890 at 1400, legal ID and music played over and over for about 3 minutes. Finally, Chinese starting coming out of my speaker. It keeps dropping out. It's not abrupt, just fades slowly down into the mud and fades back in again. So we may add this to the list of something is always wrong. That was as of July 25th, and Mark Sills follows up on July 29th. First, there is no station, then there is for about 30 seconds, fades down to zero in about 15 seconds, comes back up. First the carrier, and about 1 second later the modulation hits. A very stupid station, technically. In the Michigan ARE tip sheet, Jack Amilar forwards a story from WOOD in Grand Rapids about WION 1430 AM or 92.7 FM in Ionia, Michigan. You may hear a station promo unlike anything else on the dial. It says, you won't be bombarded with mudslinging, issue-arguing ads on this station. As in the past election cycles, WION will only run political ads for federal office seekers that they are required to by law. Candidates on the state and local level, from governor to drain commissioner, need not submit copy. Just after midnight UT, July 26th, Stan Horzepa reported to IRCA from New England, WRCR is back on the air on 1700. Heard for the first time in a long time. The landlord pulled the plug last August. I'm 66 miles away from it in Ramapo, New York, and S9 signal in Walcott, Connecticut. However, it's probably gone again, as the consensus seems to be. It was just put back on the air briefly to avoid losing its license for having been off the air more than 1 year. In fact, Stan says they were gone again the morning of July 27th, and no news on their website, www.wrcr.com. Mark DeLorenzo in Massachusetts says, I believe they had to sign on briefly to keep their license active. We file under Western Sahara None, but Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal considers it an opposition station in Algeria. Yes, the Polisario Front on 1550. He says, on July 29th, I noticed 1550 is silent since this past Friday, 2 days before. The alternative frequencies aren't being used, 702 or 700 kilohertz. However, the Algerian station, Radio Al Aghwat, is loud and clear on 702. He says, now that they're off, I shall resume my almost daily observations of 1550 to see what happens next. I wouldn't be surprised if it starts to broadcast erratically at first and then closes for good. However, most plausibly, it's a transmitter malfunction. Now filed under unidentified, since it's a mystery location, via Hans-Jörg Biener from the Fellowship of European Broadcasters, FEB, July 30th, a snippet concerning Central Asia. Transworld Radio's new Silk Road transmitter has opened the door to renewed and expanded broadcasting of God's Word to 60 megapeople across Central Asia. Many parts of this land of deserts, mountains, steppes, and oases are populated by unreached people groups and are hostile to Christians. The 200,000-watt AM transmitter will be able to reach into 10 countries where evangelical believers account for less than 1% of the population. From another place on the TWR website, a little more detail. It says to reach roughly 60 mega people scattered in the vast steppes of Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan, the valleys of Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan, and northwest China with the good news, TWR is stepping out in faith to install a 200,000-watt AM transmitter to renew and expand our Central Asian ministry. What's the frequency, Kenneth, and where is it? Nowhere in any of this information is there the least hint of either bit of data. A little more research is needed, since they are apparently refusing to disclose this information even to financial supporters. While they just mentioned 6 countries in the coverage area, we can rule out China for sure. The WRTH has a Kyrgyzstan entry about Bishkek 1467 kilohertz with 500 kilowatts operated on behalf of TWR, but that's too powerful for this and it's not owned by TWR. Why is this being treated as a big secret? Steve Witt of Medium Wave Circle replies, probably because it's a cross-border operation. I doubt if any of these places will welcome an independent transmitter broadcasting foreign religion to their people in local languages. From the stated coverage area, I suspect the site would be in Afghanistan, north of Kabul, or in northern Pakistan. Perhaps permission to build and operate it was obtained on the understanding there would be no broadcasts in local languages. I reply, interesting theory, but I believe Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, and Uzbekistan have no problem renting out their shortwave transmitters to Christians, although they do not shout it from the rooftops. The location of a 200-kilowatt medium-wave transmitter cannot possibly be kept secret, easily triangulated by 2 or 3 medium-wave DXers in the region with loops or loop sticks, if anyone cares to do it. We're sad to hear from the current head of HFCC, Jeff White, that the founder of the High Frequency Coordination Conference, Oldrich Cheap, has suddenly passed away July 27th following a short illness. That's C with a hook, IP, from the Czech Republic. The annual Madison-Milwaukee get-together for DXers and radio enthusiasts, a summer tradition on the DX calendar, is almost here. This is a special one marking their 25th year. It'll be at Lake Farm County Park, Madison, Wisconsin, Saturday, August 18th, from 1 to 9:30 p.m. Central. For an invitation and more info, contact the organizers, Mark Taylor, MarkOkPik, at gmail.com, or Bill Dvorak, DXERAK, at gmail.com. From spaceweather.com, July 29th, via Mike Terry. The sun has been without sunspots for 31 of the past 32 days. To find a similar stretch of blank suns, you have to go back to 2009, when the sun was experiencing the deepest solar minimum in a century. Clearly, solar minimum has returned, bringing extra cosmic rays, long-lasting holes in the sun's atmosphere, and strangely pink auroras. The propagation outlook from Boulder, minor G1 geomagnetic storm likely August 20th, with ANK indices peaking at 20 and 5. Solar flux 68, except a peak to 70, August 11th to 17th. And that's World of Radio 1941. Glenn Hauser inviting you back next week.